Now, the Sunday Spin continues on 720 WGN. Here's Rick Pearson.
Good Sunday morning. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune. Nice and warm here in the Allstate Showcase Studio and historic Tribune Tower on North Michigan Avenue. But I know somebody who's probably a little bit warmer. That's my friend Michael Golden. He's the author of Unlock Congress, and he's a senior fellow at the Adlai Stevenson Center on Democracy. And he also teaches at Arizona State University. So how are things in Arizona this morning?
You know something? I don't miss the snow, but I do miss the Sunday Spin. That's the best. That's the best I can come up with.
That's the best you could do. So what's the temperature right now?
It's about, I'd say, 60 degrees at 7:38 Mountain Time, and it'll be 75 in an hour or two, not to sound obnoxious to all my old Chicago friends.
I just did that on purpose, because I wanted everybody to just hate you right now, okay?
Yeah, I appreciate that. Well, me and my dad's in town, and we're both trying to figure out the Blackhawks. I promised him I'd ask you. I got my jersey on this morning. I promised him I'd ask the expert what's going on there. What's going on with our guys?
Well, we talked about this earlier. They're just they're aging. They're getting aged, and it's a long season, and I don't think the legs are holding up, and it's going to be a transition time for the Blackhawks. And
well, after all those championships, you know, they deserve a little rebuilding, right? That's the best way to look at it.
That's right, and I'm still rooting for them.
Absolutely.
But it's 10 points out of the playoffs, last playoff spot. That's a rough road to hoe. So, Michael, I know you were at this Unrig the System summit in New Orleans. And what was that, and what's the goal? What did you take away from that?
Well, I just heard, you know, you talking the rest of the show, and particularly the last round about Illinois politics. It's really funny. My friend, and as someone you know too, Dan Prof, when he ran for governor in Illinois several years ago, his catchphrase was, Illinois politics isn't broken, it's fixed. And 6 years, which is, you know, he ran a brilliant low-dollar campaign at the time, and 6 years later, I'm at a national conference in New Orleans talking about how democracy needs to be reformed desperately. And who do I hear but former CEO and Harvard professor up on the stage talking a lot about the principles I wrote about in Unlock Congress, and then saying the American democracy is not broken, it's fixed. And so there were reformers from all over the country, Rick, all over the country, who were doing things on a local level. A lot of them are connected to this group, represent.us. Josh Silver, a friend who's been on my program before, and he basically organized this entire national conference with big voices and ways people can make a difference. And their whole philosophy is doing this on a state-by-state level, in local communities, on ballot initiatives, pushing lawmakers in the states to change these things, whether it's rigged districts through terrible gerrymandering, whether it's campaign finance and ethics laws and conflict of interest laws, which applies to the judicial branches in our government, but not in so many cases, in most cases, to the way that our legislators, the people we elect, make laws. So they have, they talk about solutions too, whether it's open primaries, vote by mail, automatic voting registration, ranked choice voting. My friends at FairVote, Rob Ritchie, who taught me all about that 4 years ago when I wrote the book. It's not just about rigging the districts through drawing the lines. We're a regionally polarized country. We've self-sorted ourselves, as you know, and those congressional districts, they're not really reflective of the diversity of the country, and I mean political diversity, too. We don't get independent candidates winning. There's sore loser laws in 40 states where if you're an independent in the primary, if you lose, you can't run in the general election. And there are elections where independents are more popular than anybody from the two major parties, from the legacy parties. So that's what Unrig the System Summit was about. You mentioned the Adlai Stevenson Center on Democracy. So we have a coalition we're building in Washington, an agenda for political reform, and there are a lot of voices from our group there, from Take Back the Republic to Fair Vote, to common cause. The upshot, Rick, is that there's a revolution going on in this country, quietly in different states and not so quietly in others, that's going to turn this system of elections on its head so regular folks are better represented. Because right now, going back to Dan's expression, the system is fixed.
Well, you touched on the issue of conflict of interest, and I actually brought this up with Fritz Kagi, a candidate for Cook County Assessor, about in the legislature and conflict of issues. But I was curious about, you know, here in Illinois, our legislature is supposed to be a part-time legislature and mm-hmm. supposed to represent the diversity of interests that exist through in that method. And the conundrum of that being, well, the opposite of that is, okay, let's have a full-time legislature. And I'm not sure that that polls all that well.
Yeah, you know, there's a similar argument when people debate term limits. And I even open it up in classes at Arizona State to students. Are you for or against? You know, what are the reasons? And, you know, that the founders debated term limits and ultimately decided against it so that people in office would have a motivation to perform and be reelected. Now, the other side of that is that you have career politicians that are there 30, 40 years, and maybe they're not serving the people, they're serving their own interests before they go through that revolving door to lobbying. And then the flip-flop of that, again, is that, well, you need experience. You need people, back to your example, maybe you need people full-time and maybe even to be there several years before they really get their hands around the legislative process, the nuts and bolts of it, and how it works. In fact, term limits is one of the one things that I'm not totally against it. I don't forcefully push for it in Unlock Congress. I think that these other things first to fix the system, to repair the system, if you will, being the money and ethics and fair voting, fair representation, ranked choice voting, open primaries. There are things that we can do that will make these people, and these people are us. The people we elect are just us that put their names on a ballot. We need to make them more accountable and to make sure that more people are represented.
We're speaking with Michael Golden. He is the author of Unlock Congress, and he is enjoying the warmth of Arizona right now. I'm Rick Pearson. This is your Sunday Spin. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson, and I'm speaking with Michael Golden, author of Unlock Congress. Michael, the issue of independent maps and the issue of gerrymandering and that kind of thing, now that we've seen kind of the courts taking this up, is that kind of forcing the hand on this a little bit?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I didn't want to get too deep in the weeds on that, but right now there's not just one, there's two cases before the Supreme Court. Map in Wisconsin, and then just a few weeks ago, the Supreme Court, in a surprise move, decided to hear a case from Maryland. And it's interesting because for the first time, it's very possible that they will rule that political gerrymandering, not racial gerrymandering, but political gerrymandering, where you're outright favoring one party or the other in a drawing of a map, thus rigging the district and not giving people their real rights of being represented, is unconstitutional. And the interesting thing about taking the Maryland case, the second one, is that now they have two cases there, one filed by Democrats, one by Republicans. And some people who observe the court very closely think that it's possible they took that second case to make it look, when they rule, like they're being more nonpartisan. If they strike down both maps, then they're saying a pox on both parties' houses. You can't do this. And it's sort of, it could be seen as sort of a hint that they wanted to rule on this and tell the map makers to knock it off and try to draw them far more fairly. And so we're going to hear about that any day now, and certainly the next couple months. And Rick, bringing it back to, you know, what's been going on nationally, we still don't have an infrastructure bill. We still don't have a health care fix. There are, you know, I have family members in that donut hole. There are real things going on in the country, even if it's a budget at the last minute, where the tribal warfare is off the charts. It doesn't get any better. It may look better for a second last week because the two Senate leaders agreed at the last second on a continuing resolution, but that's not how the government's supposed to function. And they don't pass appropriations bills the way they used to for different causes. They just package it all together in this big omnibus mess. And part of the reason is because the parties aren't able to negotiate with each other in good faith and get these things done in a timely fashion. So I don't mean, you know, I get in the weeds a little bit about the reforms and all this stuff, but it matters in people's lives because American government is not American government anymore, not the way it used to be.
Well, and, you know, when you look at the polarization that goes on, for example, in the drawing of Illinois' legislative districts in the Constitution, it was designed to be a bipartisan process in that if the two sides couldn't agree, that then you flip a coin and you decide basically or draw a name out of the hat, giving one party the priority over the other party to draw the map lines. But that whole threat of chance was supposed to be a threat to try to get both sides to work together in drawing the map lines. And instead, the parties basically decided that they're better off with the going to chance, because then it's winner take all.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, there was a great example. Just last week, I did a trivia question in class for a $10 coffee to the winner. How about that?
Wow. I'm coming to your class.
It's not bad, right?
Right.
I told them, we had talked about gerrymandering in the Supreme Court and this stuff, and then lo and behold, a few days later, the Supreme Court actually came out, and so in Pennsylvania, a map had been struck down as unconstitutional by the state Supreme Court. Basically, the vote was roughly, I don't know, 54-56% for the Republicans versus the Democrats, the overall vote in the congressional elections in the state. And the Republicans own about 12 seats to 5 versus the Democrats. It's a fully rigged map. And the state Supreme Court said, you got to redraw the map. That is unconstitutional. And the Republicans, or whoever was representing the Republicans, they filed this with the Supreme Court to get a stay, to have it halted, to say, no, you don't have to redraw the map this quick. We're having your election, your primary coming up. And the Supreme Court refused. They said, no, go redraw the map. Figure it out. They said it's on. So there are a lot of hints that some of this stuff is being overturned. And don't forget, there's an uprising, a quiet but steady uprising in the country about Citizens United and all of the money. And even though Represent.us, I was telling you, Josh Silver, and all these groups around the country are working on local anti-corruption measures, and they're having great success. And there's an interactive map, by the way, before I forget it, represent.us. I would take a look at it. Anyone who's interested, you can see in your state, in your town, you can see what's going on. They're creating this map as we speak. But you know, with what's going on with gerrymandering and the potential moving back on that in the Supreme Court and the historic ruling, who's to say that the same thing can't happen on the money, on the big super PACs and all of that big money influence in the next year or two? So everything's on the table right now because people are fed up and there's a bottleneck happening and in New Orleans it was kind of exploding.
So one other thing I wanted to ask you, this, and I know the show isn't long enough, that ranked choice voting is a very interesting concept. Just could you explain how that works?
Yeah, that's even with 15 minutes a little tricky to explain to a full classroom of Sun Devils. But actually, the basics of it is easy to understand. Right now, we have single member districts, and in every congressional district, you only have one member. There are other ways to do this, and we've done it in other ways in our country, and we do in local elections. You can create a super district of 3 or 4 members, and then no matter how many people are on the ballot, you do it by ranked choice voting. So instead of just voting for one person, you'll vote, if there's 3 members in a super district, you'll vote 1, 2, 3. You'll choose your first 3 choices out of 7 or 8. And by a mathematical formula that I don't have the time to explain, everybody's vote is represented. Because even if you don't get your first or second choice, there's still points involved. There's still mathematical meaningfulness involved in your third choice. So you don't have to worry about wasting your vote or about spoiler candidates. This is a way where you rank. And also, by extension, these candidates in the campaigns, they have to try to reach out to more people. They can't just hammer one opponent over the head with millions of dollars in negative ads, because It's not a binary choice. And like I said, my friend Rob Ritchie taught me about this several years ago when I was researching for the book. And they have these things going on in Oakland and Minneapolis and Cambridge. They had it passed in Maine. There was a court challenge, but in the state of Maine. So, you know, it's tricky to do because Congress has to repeal a law from 1967 when it comes to the congressional seats because they mandated one person per district. So to get a multi-seat district is a little tricky because one party kind of owns the congressional map right now, but that could swing the other way. So again, on a local level, these things are happening, and the people who run in these races and even won these races have said, this is a better way to elect people. I'm even a better person governing because of the process. I had to listen to everybody. I had to fight for everybody's vote. And so, you know, it's an up-and-coming thing, ranked choice voting. And people in New Orleans were just sort of, you know, their attitude, a thousand of them from all over the country was, hey, this is simple stuff. We just got to get the word out to everybody, and we can repair this thing.
Or in Illinois, it'd be everything old is new again, since that was the way that the Illinois House was elected back in the day before the...
Cumulative voting. That's a great point, cumulative voting. And they did a study with, I believe, Abner Mikva and... Jim Edgar is the co-chairs, and they studied how government was before that changed. And they said, they concluded that Illinois' House worked a lot better as a democratically elected government when it was cumulative voting, which is similar to ranked choice. It's a great example.
Michael Golden, my good friend, author of Unlock Congress, who is teaching government and democracy at Arizona State University, as always, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
My pleasure. I'll be back in May. See you at the Billy Goat. I'm going to be in Chicago for quite some time. I miss everybody back there, and thanks for having me, Rick. I appreciate it.